Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, if you would, please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, we come to a miracle that is in all four Gospels. It is the only one of Jesus' miracles that is in all four Gospels. Therefore, I think it must have a special place. That's why we have that as the image behind me as I'm preaching. Andrew pointing the little boy to Jesus. In Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30, this is God's word. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I love this story. I love this story not only because it's in all four Gospels. I love this story because it is true. This is not make-believe. This is not the princess and the pea. This is not some silly fairy tale. This is history. This actually happened. God actually did this. The apostles gathered around him and reported all that they had done and taught. A few weeks ago, we looked at that. The fact that Jesus sent them out on a mission and God worked in an amazing way. And it was so amazing that word of it got to Herod. Well, they had so many people coming and going, such crowds coming and going, that they didn't even have a chance to eat. And so Jesus said to them something that had to sound wonderful. "We're going to take a little vacation. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Even before you get there, You can envision it's going to be good, okay? We're not going to, ministering to the crowd's wonderful, but we need some quiet time. We need some time just us. It's going to be Jesus and the apostles, and we're going to have some quiet time and rest. He said so. So they get in the boat, they head across, and apparently they didn't have a speedboat, because by the time they got to the other side of the lake, the crowd had made it around there on foot. So the only real rest they got, if they got any, was in the boat on the way to the other side, because when they got to the other side, there's a huge crowd. This isn't what we were expecting, Jesus. I thought it was going to be just us. I thought we were going to have some rest. It was going to be quiet. It was going to be nice. But Jesus had compassion on the crowd. They'd come from all around. They wanted to meet with him. And so Jesus begins to teach them. Cause of his compassion. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. And so his disciples came to him in order to remind him of the time. They said, look, this is a remote place, and these folks need something to eat. Now, of course, it doesn't indicate that they had gotten to eat yet, okay? That was part of the original reason for the trip, was we're going to go out to eat, okay? We're going to go to a quiet, remote place, have some quiet time. They had not gotten to eat. So now they're on the other side of the lake. There's still a crowd, and Jesus is still bent on ministering to these people. And so the disciples come and they say, you know, you need to send these folks away. This is a remote place and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. I think that's a great idea. I mean, doesn't that seem reasonable? Why should these people expect a handout? Why shouldn't they? They have resources. These weren't destitute people. Jesus, you need to teach them to be responsible. You need to encourage them not to develop a culture of dependency, but instead to have the wisdom to use their own resources in order to get what they need. That's what we do, isn't it, Jesus? Come on now. Please, send them away. I think that's very reasonable. It was very reasonable. But it wasn't Jesus' plan. God was going to do something that would seem completely unreasonable. There were a lot of people there. 5,000 men plus women and children. So you've got, if you're going to try and feed them, you have great need. One of them apparently had some accounting ability, and so we don't know, you know, which one, if that was Matthew, the tax collector, or it was one of the others. It was one of the others who actually voiced it, if you read the other Gospels. But the answer is it would take 8 months' wages to feed all these people. We've done the calculations, and we think this is not a reasonable thing. Why were they even talking about that? Because Jesus said, you give them something to eat. You got to be kidding. You want us to go out and try and find enough food for all these people? It's not like you can go to one of these places out in the countryside and say, you know, I'd like to order a meal for a group. How many in the group? 5,000 men plus women and children. So I guess, you know, if you've got enough to feed 15, 20,000, just load it on our backs and we'll carry it back to them. Well, I mean, there's no way. So you're going to send us, Jesus, in 12 different directions with money to try and round up enough food to feed these people while you continue to teach them. Jesus, that just logistically doesn't work. It is unreasonable. It's impractical. I mean, that would be like sending us on a preaching mission and telling us we couldn't take anything with us, which is the previous passage. Okay? Jesus keeps doing unreasonable stuff and asking unreasonable things of those who follow him. You want us to do what? There's enormous need that Jesus says he wants us to address. You give them something to eat. That would take 8 months' wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? Jesus is actually thinking, let's have bread and fish. Okay? They're saying, we think it's unreasonable just to come up with the bread. Jesus says, what? We ought to have fish too. He didn't actually say that, but that's what's going to happen.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Jesus says, find out what is available. Andrew comes back and says, well, there's one little boy who's got five small loaves and two small fish. But what is that among so many? George Beverly Shea, the soloist with the Billy Graham Organization, used to sing a song called Little Is Much If God Is In It. And that is the truth. How much oil did the widow have in her little vial? Just a little, but it was enough. God loves to take impossible odds and demonstrate his power. And so, the little boy's loaves and fish are brought to Jesus, and I like to point out that all five loaves and both fish were put in Jesus' hands. See, if I'd been the little boy and that was my lunch, and I'm asked to share it with the master, okay, for Jesus, I'd be willing to give some. Should I give him two of my little loaves? I've only got five. If I give him two, I'll still have three. No, I probably should give him three. I want to be generous. Maybe I could give him four and just keep one for myself. Do I give him one of the fish and keep the other one for myself? They aren't big fish, but maybe I should just keep a half a fish for myself. Does anybody here remember Ananias and Sapphira? Other folks in the church were selling their properties and bringing the money and putting it at the apostles' feet to be used for the kingdom. And Ananias and Sapphira wanted to get in on that, but when they sold their property, they thought, well, we can keep some of it, but we'll tell them we're giving all of it. Okay? It cost them their lives because they were lying to the Holy Spirit. And the apostles said to them, Peter said, you didn't have to sell the field. You weren't commanded to do that. And when you sold it, the money was yours to do with as you pleased. The problem is not that you kept some back. The problem is you pretended that you were giving it all. You lied to the Holy Spirit. And that is absolutely worthy of death. You know, I get that. I see. I can see where that's a problem. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I surrender all. Really? Well, that's a song that is a prayer of aspiration. That's what we want to do. Well, let's be clear about that. God, grant that it may be so. Grant that we really would gladly, joyfully surrender everything to Jesus. That is possible. What is not okay is to sing that song while clinging to sin. To sing that song while determined that I'm not going to give this up. You can surrender everything to Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you're going to follow Jesus, you need to do that every day. But don't be a hypocrite. Don't pretend I surrender all when really you know you don't. This little boy whose meal was put in Jesus' hands was apparently just going to skip a meal. He didn't know what was going to happen. He just knew that Jesus was wanting what he had. You don't know what is going to happen when you surrender your life to Jesus. You don't know what he's going to do with you. But he does. He's got a plan. And it's a good one. It's a perfect one. Jesus gave thanks. And later on, in one of the Gospels, when Jesus is about to do another miracle, it refers to coming to the place where this had happened. And instead of saying it came to the place where Jesus had miraculously fed all those people, it says he came to the place where Jesus had given thanks after he was given that meal and about to feed the people. That's what this place is marked by. It's a place where Jesus gave thanks. Is that your response when you're looking at a huge need and small resources? Do you give thanks or do you complain? I've done my share of both. I mean, it just doesn't seem to balance. But in God's economy, it does. Because God can put his finger on the scale and that changes everything. We said previously, when we were looking at the miracles that Jesus did through the apostles, that God works those miracles in the context of obedience. All the miracles happen in the context of obedience. And here again, there is something that Jesus commanded before he worked the miracle. He said, have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. And in fact, Luke tells us that he commanded them to be in groups of 50. Apparently, he allowed groups of 50 or 100. Two groups could get together. But if you wanted to just have 25 in your group because we don't like those people over there, not allowed. What happens if you don't go for it? Why should I sit down? I'm more comfortable standing. Jesus said sit down. Well, I'll stand. Well, you're going to miss a meal. Jesus always, always, always works in the context of obedience. So what has he told you to do? It turns out that when our lives are put in his hands, we will find ourselves blessed and broken in order that others might be helped. He comforts us with the same comfort that we're going to need to share with others. And it's just not the same if you've never been broken. Susan and I have had more opportunities to minister to people because of our oldest son, Paul, and the medical challenges that he has faced than any other single thing in our lives. Our first child was born with birth defects that we'd never heard of. He's about to turn 44. They didn't think he'd make it much past 30. God's been kind. But he's had over 40 surgeries. And every day is a challenge for him. I would not have signed up for that. And neither would he. Neither would she. But God knew that that would not only be a blessing in Paul's life and our lives, but in the lives of so many people. We are prayed for by hundreds of people every day, and I guarantee you the catalyst for over half of those prayers is praying for our son Paul. We've gotten to witness to doctors and nurses and patients and parents in places we never would have been if Paul hadn't needed surgery. If you put your life in Jesus' hands, you will be blessed and you will be broken and you will be used for his glory. But he doesn't just break us, he also heals us. And he keeps on blessing and blessing and blessing. And it turns out they all ate and were satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied. Everybody got enough to eat. They were satisfied. That's what God does. He satisfies. He's the only one who satisfies. Nothing else will satisfy. Everything else will leave you hungry, including food. Nothing else meets that emptiness that everybody's born with. We try and fill it with this and this and this and this and this and this. Won't do it. Won't do it. But Jesus satisfies. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. Check the other Gospels. Jesus commanded them to go gather it up. He said, let nothing be wasted. You know, nothing's going to be wasted in your life if you're surrendered to him. You will be able to be used by God, even in your brokenness, to minister to others, to bless them, and there will be more besides. There's always enough, more than enough. When you trust Jesus and you surrender everything to him, there's more than enough. But God puts us in situations where we recognize that the need is too great for us. Not because he doesn't love us, but because he does love us, and he wants us to understand that we are entirely dependent on him all the time. We're not just occasionally getting into situations where, oh, now we're going to have to really depend on God. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Why? These guys knew how to fish. Okay? They had resources. But Jesus says, no, everything you have comes from me. You need to recognize your dependence on me. Every day. Well, I still think he wants us to be responsible. Yes, he does. We're going to give an account to him for what we do with what he entrusts to us. But please don't think for a minute that you can do this on your own. Well, I've learned a few things across the years. I have some skills. I've got some good knowledge. Well, you are cruising for a bruising, as we used to say when we were kids. If you think you can handle this and you'll call God if needed, you are in a heap of trouble. But if you realize every day, I need thee every hour, then you're starting to walk in wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.